Hi, how are you? Good. My son said to say hola, so I'm going to say hola. Thank you very much, Renee, for that. Very beautiful, as always. Very much appreciated the special music that you give. Also, just got word that we have additional people on the Cybercast tuning in all the way from Australia. So we have people, we are joined around the world right now, all the way to Australia. So good day to you. So, welcome to our little Cybercast here in rainy Seattle. Couple quick updates for you. We've been for our Bible studies that we've been having in our house. We've been going through a series on James. We just finished that up. Very profitable study. We've been going book by book through the book of James, and just been finding it very, very enjoyable discussion. Only problem is this week I need to actually cancel the Bible study. Unfortunately, for work, there's a conflict. It's the one single day that a CEO of a company can fly in, and we have to film something, and that's only can happen at 6:30 at night, 6:30, 8:30. So, the one conflict I have this entire month happens to be on the night of the Bible study. So, gonna have to cancel that for this coming week. But we will pick it back up in 2 weeks, which I believe is February 1st. I think that's when it is. Want to give you a quick update before I start as well on our son, little David. Really appreciate your prayers for little David. He had a bout of pneumonia there for a while, and we went in to get his x-rays done on his chest, which they verified the pneumonia with. He had quite a bad case of pneumonia, but what they also discovered is that his shunt, which is, he has a tube in his brain that drains the fluid out of his brain. There's a little section of it here, right around the next part, and there's a gap where the tubing's broken. So that means a couple of things. That means either it's broken and it's slowly failing and goes bad, which means that you have to go in for a big surgery to get that all repaired, or he could be potentially outgrowing the shunt. So we asked for prayers a while back. He's taken a while to get over the pneumonia. He's still a little draggy, but he's a lot better as far as getting over that. It took him quite a while to even start to pick up on that, but. For it appears at this point in time that we're not seeing the symptoms of what you would see when you see a shunt failure. So it's not a definite thing yet. We still have to go back in for some tests because it's always a possibility that it's a slow failure, which is always possible with the shunt, that it's slowly going bad. But we have to go in for a few more tests where they inject some dye and see if it's actually using it. But if he's not, it could have potentially broken a while back and you just didn't know about it. We didn't know about it. So that could be good news. So your prayers obviously are continually appreciated on that to see where that turns out. But we're not at this point in time seeing the symptoms of what we've seen before when he has had shunt failure. So could be good news. So your prayers are definitely appreciated. Okay, let's get rolling on this. Last week we had a video. Was that last week? Okay, it's a long week. I'm sorry. I'm not quite sure where I am yet. But last week, I believe we had a video, and everybody's shaking their head yes. So thank you very much for helping me out with that. Mr. Kylo gave us a talk last week where he talked about the Beyond Today program and supporting that program with our efforts. And, there's a lot of what our involvement is with that at this point in time is to basically, as he was saying, very much get our hearts and our minds behind that and pray for that effort. Now, I had some interesting discussions with more than one person after that. A couple people said, and I had this discussion, it wasn't just one person, it's actually multiple people said, I got a bit concerned that what I'm hearing is that, what this is just to kind of sit back and we pay and pray, as it's been said before. Our job is to sit back and there's a central effort going on. We pay, we sit back and we pray. And we pray for that. And that'll just get taken care of. And so that got me thinking this week. And I thought, well, okay, that is something that we are to do. And what he said is true. But is there more to it? Is there something that you should be doing? Is there something I should be doing that we should be doing? And what exactly is that? How do I know what I should be doing? How exactly do I know what I should be doing? And I'd like to cover that thought today, maybe in a little bit different way that you're not thinking about. I like to cover it from a different angle. This is not an all-inclusive message about that thought, but I'd like to bring up a subject today and talk about it because it's very applicable to that very thought. And that is, Let's talk today about the topic of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts and what role they play for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And let me throw that in there a couple times because I like to cover this in a little different way probably than we've heard in the past. Let's start by turning over to Ephesians 4, 7. There's a few key chapters in the Bible that go through the subject of spiritual gifts. And we're going to hit on some points from each one of those to understand exactly what your role is in this entire process. Ephesians 4, verse 7 through 13. Ephesians 4 and verse 7 gives us a background. And to start, it says, "But each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men." So what happened was, is there was, you know, as it says here, there was a captivity that was meant to take him captive. He took captive. He gained the upper hand. And what he gave as a result of this entire process is he gave gifts to men. It says he went and he gave gifts to men. This is something that he has provided to man. Now let's drop down to verse 11 because it explains that a little bit more. And it says he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so what we see here is elaborated on. He gave gifts to men for certain reasons, as it says here. And what's grouped in this particular section is it says these gifts are things. In other words, he gave to the church some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. In other words, these positions, these responsibilities, these spiritual places, responsibilities God gave to certain people. He, as a gift, it's not necessarily a hierarchy of saying, hey, I have now arrived at a certain level of position. I got a job promotion and now I have moved on to this. God says, I came and I gave a diversity or a different things to different people. Some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are pastors and teachers. All those things are not the same thing. It's not describing a hierarchy that you move up to. It's saying, I'm giving gifts to people that are different. And the purpose for this, as he says there, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, etc. Now, the purpose of these gifts are mentioned a number of things. One of those, I think, we kind of misunderstood. It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Okay, the work of ministry, a lot of times, maybe we kind of limit that down because I think we think of that as what you would know today as a minister, like someone who stands up here and gives you a talk as a minister, and that's what that's for. But the Greek word diakonia doesn't carry just that. It includes that, but it also includes more than that. It includes other types of ministry, other types of service. And if you think about this, think of it more along the lines of service or helping somebody. You can, as a person, minister to different people in a lot of different ways, can't you? If somebody's very down and depressed, you can come and give them an encouraging word. If somebody, you know, is way behind in what they're doing and their health is failing, you can come help them out physically with their house and everything else. If somebody needs some advice of what step to take next, you can pray with them, for them, about them, and help them through that. There's a lot of ways, if you start to think about it, that you can minister to somebody. That's what this word means. This is not talking about the ministry. It's saying, in fact, if you look at it closely, he put these people, apostles, prophets, and things, so they can help equip the saints. They didn't say so they can help equip themselves. They didn't say, I gave you a minister so you can help equip yourself to be a minister. It says they gave these certain gifts to help equip you to the work of ministry. And that takes a lot of different formats, as we'll see. So, and a lot of times we'll read that and say, yes, I understand that. I got that. No problem. You know, that's what I'm going to be doing in the world tomorrow. Okay, true. But is this talking about today as well? Let me ask you that. Are you being equipped for the work of ministry now? Yes, it is in the world tomorrow in the kingdom of God, but as we'll see as we go through these verses, this is clearly about today. You are being equipped now for the work of ministry now, as well as in addition for the kingdom. So what we find is these gifts were given, they were for a purpose, And you see a lot of phrases there to bring, you know, people to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. This is all for bringing and building up the spiritual body, building that spiritual body, building it up into something. Now, let's go back very quickly to Exodus 31, Exodus 31, verse 3. And let's see this. Why am I going to the Old Testament on this? You know what? That God did the same thing in the Old Testament. And there's an example that's written down here for us that's pretty, you know, it's very interesting and pretty revealing. Because this concept of a gift given to build up is explained here. Exodus 31, verse 3. Exodus 31, verse 3 is talking about when the temple of God and all the things that are around that were being built. How did that happen? It says, Exodus 31, verse 3 through 7 says, I have filled him, I'm kind of breaking in the middle of the thought, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting jewels for the setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach. I didn't read that before I came here, by the way, so I was just off the top of my head. Excuse me for that. Of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. So something interesting is presented here. God says, I have a tabernacle to be built. How was that built? By God. We find a few things here. First off, yes, these men had some physical capabilities, but that is not how this temple was built. That is not how this temple was built. It says God actually gifted them. He gave them special capabilities. He gifted them. He gave them gifts. He says, look, I'm going to add a whole bunch of stuff here that'll give you special abilities to go build this stuff in an amazing way. He gave them spiritual capability, and that is how it was built. How? It says back there, it says, I filled them with the Spirit of God. In other words, God, when it talks about that, the Spirit of God was specifically given to them, and it manifested itself, or it appeared a certain way. The Spirit of God came. The form that it took when God said, I filled them with the Spirit of God, was it gave them skill with their hands to be able to do some amazing work. In other words, God didn't say, I gave them the Spirit of God and I set them up to be the pastors over here, and all of a sudden these people with that Spirit became the spiritual leaders of the day. That's not what it's saying here. But he filled them with the Spirit, and it manifested itself in a specific way. That was with the hands and being able to build something. So what we find is God, through his Spirit, gifted by his Spirit, and that is gifted and comes out a certain way. In this particular example, it is on a level where they could build. So when we go through this today, you'll see a lot of these same thoughts that we'll kind of come back to or be repeated. But the important point about this is, if you think about this being a physical temple, what is God building right now? What did we just read back in Ephesians? God is assembling or building his body, or what, you know, we've also heard of this as a spiritual temple being built up. The same analogy applies here, and as we'll see, there is no other way that it can be built. That God gifted them to build something physical. God has a spiritual temple that he's raising up in all of us, and that we are part of, that God must gift for that to be built. God must gift his spiritual gifts, and that must be manifested in multiple different ways for that thing to be finished. Not everybody is laying the foundation. Not everybody is putting up the wall. Not everybody is putting in a window. It is being manifested so that everybody has a part in that. So what we learn from this Old Testament example is God used the same idea here. I came down and I gave something they didn't have by fiat, gave them a gift so they may build the temple. And we find that that is applied on a spiritual level. Okay, so I can understand that so far, but what it sounds like to me is that you're still talking about those who are in charge, the apostles and prophets and things. What about you as a member of the church who's not an ordained minister standing up and speaking? How about you? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, because this elaborates a little bit more on the topic. I can see how God has given certain gifts, ministry, apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. That's for the equipping. But is he also talking about me as a person who may possibly never stand on stage? Does that include me or not? So 1 Corinthians 12, there's actually, these three chapters here talk about spiritual gifts. What is 1 Corinthians 13? Anybody know what that is? Okay, love chapter. Is that a side note to this thought? Do you know what? 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are one long thought, and we'll explore that a little bit here because it's an important point to understand to unlock spiritual gifts. But 12, 13, and 14 are all of the same thought. Let's start in chapter 12 and pull out a few things here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual," most Bibles put in the word gifts. It's actually not there, the word gifts. But it's saying, "Now concerning the spiritual." But you'll see he does use the word gifts later on down. So these topics are really about spiritual gifts. It says, "I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Verse 4 is where he actually mentions the word. He says, "There are diversities." Diversities, what does that mean? That's a very popular word today in the business world, diversity. It means there are a lot of different gifts. They're all different. There are a wide variety of gifts, a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay, so what I was describing to you before in the Old Testament, God's filled them with the Spirit. It manifested itself in a diverse way. It came out as being able to work with the hands. That's what that Old Testament example said. There's a lot of different type of gifts that God gives. There's a lot of different types. Now, the word gifts here is interesting. In the Greek, it's charisma. Charisma, right? And if you think about that, you know, have you heard that word before? Charisma. Charisma, right? If you think of our modern day word charisma, it sounds the same. The only problem is it's not the same thing. Okay, when you read charisma, unfortunately, if I were back in the day where this was written and I heard that word spoken, it would mean something entirely different than you hear it today. You know, today, what do you think of? In fact, the definition, if you look in just the dictionary today, it means charm. You know, somebody who's charming, alluring, appealing, fascinating, right? You know, it's one of those people you see and they're like, "Hey," kind of raise your eyebrow and like, "Hey," you know, you just kind of ooze this charisma, right? Not what this word means at all. So unfortunately, we've come to the place with the raised eyebrow and this word being associated together, charisma. Now, charisma, if you look at it in the Greek, means something different. It's translated different ways. It's translated as a gift, a free gift, and it really means it's something that you receive with no merit of your own. It's a favor. It's a gift. Not only just a gift, but it carries the meaning that it's from God. It's a divine gift. It's free. What other word do we know that sounds like that or it's similar thought? The word grace, right? And you'll see as we go through this, God giving his Spirit and giving grace and giving gifts are all used together over and over and over again in the Bible. So unfortunately, if you can ignore the thought of what charisma means today, if you were back in the day when this was written, somebody said charisma, you would say, "Oh, I understand you are talking about a free spiritual gift given by God that somebody has received." That's a little bit different. So it's important to understand that. And why do I say that? Because when we go through this, I think there's a point of confusion that we can get into with all of this, is that we mix up spiritual gifts with just normal physical capabilities that people have. And those two are not the same things. Normal physical capabilities probably are what a lot of times contribute to charm, that, you know, as you would call it today, people's physical abilities. Those two, a spiritual gift given by God and your natural physical capabilities, are not the same thing. When it talks about charisma, it is a gift that God grants freely to you on a spiritual level. Let me get a little more specific. For example, what about the gift of speaking? That is a gift that's mentioned that we'll read later. Someone on a physical level can be a great talker, can be very persuasive, can hold a crowd's attention, but that does not mean that they have the gift of speaking on a spiritual level. Okay? They're not the same things. I've seen people who have the natural ability to speak and talk, but that doesn't mean when they present a message that it actually builds that temple up spiritually. Okay? Let me get even clearer. What if someone like, you ever know who Tony Robbins is? This guy with the big teeth and on late night TV, big smile, and just goes all 90 miles an hour? What if he came here and he spoke to you today about your future in the kingdom? Would it be good? Bet you would. I bet you'd be all fired up. You know, would it be inspiring? Maybe so. That guy's talented. On a physical level, he has a gift, not a gift, but a natural ability to speak and talk. But would that impact or build this church on a spiritual level as a spiritual gift of speaking would? No, it would not. There is a difference. Let me take the opposite example. What if you had some blue-collar working man who's unsophisticated, can barely speak, came into the church after Tony Robbins, got up on stage, not very eloquently, but was given the gift of speaking? Would that make a difference on a spiritual level to the church? The answer to that question is yes. And you know what? How do I know that? Because what I just described there is in the Bible. Who was Peter? Who was Apostle Peter? He was a worker on the side. He was not a Tony Robbins motivational speaker. He was a worker whose main job was not to speak. He was not eloquent. And what happened in Acts 2? He gave a talk that cut people to the core, that resulted in a lot of repentance and people being converted. That is what is called a spiritual gift. Do you start to see what I'm saying here? There is a difference between your natural ability and a spiritual gift. They are not the same thing. And one of the reasons I think that this can be a confusing topic is we mix those two things up. We mix them together. Yes, it can be interesting, but if you want to affect and build this church and edify it, that requires a spiritual gift from God. And not the same thing as if Tony Robbins. So I exaggerate that on purpose to help us to start to see. You can be the most eloquent, naturally gifted person, but that does not necessarily mean you're going to affect somebody on a physical level. Same thing, another gift. Gift of healing. Okay, what about the gift of healing? Can you be a doctor, you know, with 30 years of training and practice? Does that mean that you can heal somebody? If you have all the practice of being a doctor and the education and real world things, does that mean you can heal somebody? Or could somebody come along with zero doctor training and be gifted with the gift of healing and be able to heal people? The answer is yes to that. Again, Peter, again. Okay, you can see this in a number of different places. In fact, turn over to Acts 3:11 very quickly. Acts 3:11. Let's read that example, and there's some things to pull out of this. Acts 3, verse 11. Someone with no training in being a doctor caused somebody to be healed. That is a spiritual gift freely given to a person. So it says, Acts 3:11 says, there was a lame man who was healed, held on to Peter and John and all the people. So they went and said to this man, we heard this read in the video last week, you know, I do not have gold and silver to give you, but I do have this, rise up and walk. So verse 11 says, the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. They're like, wow. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. What did he say? Did he say, yeah, you know what, I know God's working with me, but you know, I've had a lot of training in this. You know, it's been a long road to really help me to get to this place. You know, he said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as people, as though by our own power or our own godliness, we had made this man walk? Peter clearly understood here that this had nothing to do with his abilities. This had nothing to do with even natural abilities that he had. He clearly understood that this, in fact, this is not a case where he has false humility. He's not saying that like, oh, you know, why do you kind of look at us? He understood clearly he had no part in that, except it was the manifestation of a gift through God's Spirit that had been given to him so that he could do this thing here. And he fully gave God credit in this. He fully gave God credit in that. And so I think when we start to unlock this, we're going to start to pull out a few keys here. And this is one of them. This is one of them that you can't ignore. Because I bring out before the point about separating your physical and spiritual gifts for a reason. Because to unlock a spiritual gift, one of the things is that you are not the one who's glorified. You are not the one who is getting the credit. It is God who must fully be the one who is getting the credit, because it is of him. So it's important to start to understand that, yes, you can have physical gifts, but I'm talking about the spiritual ones that God gives you. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go back there. That was an ordinary man, no previous training, not a great motivational speaker, not a doctor, giving the most amazing speeches and healing people. Spiritual gifts, very, very clear. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Sometimes we read about spiritual gifts and that's where we stop. We think, okay, great. You know, I obviously don't have any because I'm not healing people and I'm not converting 3,000 people. Okay, let's dig a little bit further. How and what do these different gifts look like? 1 Corinthians 12:5 says, there are differences in ministries, as we saw before, ministering to people, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. So again, this is also telling us, let's expand our thinking a little bit. It's not just speaking, it's not just healing, and it's not just standing up in front of 5,000 people and 3,000 are converted or whatever it is. It's saying there are differences in the way we minister to people and there are differences in activities. Let's start to think about that. Verse 7 is key. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, what does it say after that? It is given to the ministers. What does it say there? It says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, for the profit of all. So we've gone from a level of, yes, it is given to the apostles and prophets and teachers, but we are now down to a place where it is talking about every single person who has been given God's Spirit. Also says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That is that the diversity, the way that those gifts come out, there is a different way. It is given to everyone. Nobody is excluded. The word everyone actually means everybody or everyone. Okay? I can say that slower if you'd like, but it literally means what it says. The manifestation of these gifts are literally given to, okay, you say, well, okay, that's nice. All right. But okay. But I don't have any talents. I mean, serious. I don't have any talents. You know, we always say that. I'm humble. I'm simple. I sit here. I don't have any talents. I'm not like, you know, everyone else. Again, let's go back to the physical versus the spiritual. Let's just assume for a second that that statement's true on a physical level, that this audience is full of incredibly untalented people. There's not an ability in anybody out there, not a drop of physical capabilities. We are the most bland, dull, unable to do anything group ever, okay? I'm being a little sarcastic on purpose, but let's just assume that's the case. That can be the case, but that's not what it's talking about. Again, we are not talking about your physical talents. We are talking about God has given a spiritual talent or talents, gifts, to each one of us. So you can think in your mind, I'm not talented, I'm not out there flashy, Could be true. I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think, you know, everybody does have physical abilities, but this is not what it's talking about. God gave everybody a spiritual ability or a gift. And that's why, again, it's also important to understand the difference between your physical natural abilities and a spiritual gift. This does say that everybody has been given a spiritual gift for what? For the profit of all. Okay? So, and I think another thing that, you know, we find sometimes is said is, you know, I hear the phrase sometimes, well, I just wish the church would recognize my talents, you know, or other people's talents. And, you know, I actually think as we go along here, I think it's actually good that we aren't, you know, out there holding up people's talents, because again, I think we're starting to mix the two. Physical capabilities do not equate to a spiritual gift that's given. So, and in fact, that actually helps us to understand a little bit that we might actually be looking in the wrong place. Yes, on a physical level, you may be this type of a person, maybe at work and other things, but on a spiritual level, God may have given you an entirely different set of capabilities on a spiritual level that are not the same. And if we look to the physical ones and say, well, I should be, you know, I think I can talk great, I should be up there, that is looking at the physical probably. On a spiritual level, maybe God has given you something else. So I think we start to focus and look at it, and I say that multiple times to be clear, but let's not confuse the two, because we are talking about spiritual gifts, and everybody has been given a spiritual gift. In fact, it says he called the weak of the world, doesn't it? I could describe part of it as, you know, physical capabilities. The big Tony Robbins of the world aren't necessarily called, are they? But to confound them, God's Spirit is given, and God's Spirit through gifts is going to confound them. They won't understand it. You're not trained. You're not a motivational speaker. How did you get 3,000 people to listen? It's not you, okay, as Peter said. So some of these gifts are listed here, continuing on, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Hey, there's a different sounding gift. Okay, that's a very interesting one. The word of wisdom is given through the Spirit. To another, knowledge through the same Spirit. These are called gifts. To another, faith. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. That's an interesting one. Did you know that on a spiritual level, that's a gift to be able to pick out, to understand the nuances of what's going on here, what's going on with a conversation or with a group, or what the intent and motives behind it. You see, Christ had that gift, didn't he? He said, oh, he discerned their hearts. He understood. It was a discerner of the spirits and the thoughts and the intents. That's a very interesting gift. Think about it on this level. There's a lot of different ways that these are talking about that the Spirit's manifested. And another, different kinds of tongues. The other, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as God wills. God has chosen something for each one of us. The tongues was an interesting one back there. And what that really is that is just the ability for someone to speak in a known language of the time. And this person has never been trained in that language. That's simply what it is. It's not some gibberish kind of a thing. It is somebody who has not studied languages can now speak a language miraculously so that everybody hears it in their own tongue. You see that in Acts as well. Same thing is shown out. That's a gift given. This is not saying I've studied languages 9 years. It says by all of a sudden I can speak that. So hold your place here in Corinthians and turn to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 4. Romans 12, verse 4 adds a list of gifts that are here and adds to this. Romans 12 and verse 4. This is another entire chapter on gifts. We won't have time to go through it, but let's read a few key verses. Verse 4 through 8 says, For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us. Let's use them. Okay, let's use them. I say that to you today. Come back to that point. Let's use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in a proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it to our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Do you realize that these are spiritual gifts that God gives? Do these things not help a body? What if there is a person who can show mercy? In other words, when you cross them, you know people like this. I know people like this at work. You cross them, you know you've done wrong. Guess what? They are going to make you pay for the next 6 months, right? Does it not help the body of Christ? You ever met somebody who you know you did something wrong? No big deal. Great. Mercy. And they're happy. They're not holding some grudge. Does that not help the body and build it up? That is a spiritual gift and ability that God has granted. That is a huge thing. You start to think about these things. There are ways that it's manifested that are very, very interesting, that are for the body and to build the body up. You know, giving, not just someone who gives like, all right. Someone who's more than happy to give and add something onto that and send you away with a cup of coffee and everything else, who's happy to give liberally, overgive. That's a spiritual gift that God gives. Those are spiritual things in nature that God gives. Well, you know, I don't have spiritual gifts. I don't know what they are. You know, I have no idea what they are. So let me ask you this. Can you take a Myers-Briggs test, a FIRO-B? If you know whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, or, you know, this, an INTP, ENTP, is that going to help you with your spiritual gift? It will not help you with your spiritual gift. That will help you figure out your physical aptitude, yes. It will not help you with your spiritual gift. So what is how do I take an aptitude test on a spiritual level? The way to start with this is just to begin to ask God to show you. If it's on a spiritual nature and a level and you don't see it, we found out that that is not true. Before it says everyone has something or some things. If you can't see it yet, assume, number one, that you have something. I don't know what it is. Ask God to help you to start to understand what that spiritual gift is. What is that? Now, you know, begin to pray about it. And here's where I think submitting to the will of God, it comes in and it'll be a test for you. Because what if you are hoping that you are something else over here, but God has chosen something else over here for you? Are you okay with accepting that? What if God shows you a spiritual gift that maybe you wanted something that was very glamorous, but that's not the gift that God gave you? And this is a part where it comes in that actually submitting to the will of God is something that this will is a big part of it. Are you willing to take what God has given to you and what he wants you to do? So let me ask you this. Let's go back to the 1 Corinthians 12. And this is explained a little bit better here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in the fact the body is not one member, but many." So again, one body, many members, many functions, many different things that are part of this. "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were hearing, how could it smell?" What's this saying, you know, in other words? Think about that, you know, kind of as we think about it today. I think if we only view certain gifts as things like just speaking, you know, you could rephrase that. You could say, you know, well, I'm either up here talking or giving a message, or I'm listening. And that's the two polar opposites. That's it. I'm sitting and listening to somebody talk, or I'm up here speaking. And so this is the thing that looks like it's the target to be. I've got to make my way up to speak. That's it. What this is saying is hang on a second. If everybody's speaking, that's not going to work. There's a whole bunch of parts of the body that are very important for this whole thing to work together. It's not just about that. And you continue on 27, it says, "You're the body and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healing, helps. That's an interesting word. Helps. Helps. Same thing. Ministry type of a word is that you help on a lot of different levels. On spiritual levels, there's a lot of different ways that are helps. You know, etc. And are all apostles and prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healing? So it goes on to explain that. And so what's important to start to think about is it's not just one thing. Supporting a central effort is very important. Speaking, this is an important part of services. If we stop here, we aren't going anywhere. If it stops with, I'm either speaking or I'm sitting listening, it never goes anywhere. Because it says you have to have all the pieces there. Otherwise, the body is not edified. All of the pieces. So I'm proposing that, first of all, you do have a spiritual gift or gifts. Two, you may not realize it, but start to ask God what that is. And three, we're not getting anywhere until we start to use those. It says use those. Use them for the edification of the body. Now, verse 31 at the end of this chapter is interesting. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. I actually think that's, I was reading in a commentary, that's actually could be translated another way, and I think it should be translated another way. Because what was happening is they were all speaking in tongues, and they were all coming to church, and it was this big kind of thing, who can speak in tongues and who could be seen. It says, but you, best gifts would be also translated showy gifts. And then desiring, or earnestly desire, can also be translated, you are. In other words, you could say, you are earnestly desiring the showy gifts, but let me show you a more excellent way. And if you read it in that context, that goes right into chapter 13. It says you are, in your group, thinking that you want these showy gifts, but let me show you something that's better. So what we go then is right into chapter 13, verse 1, and it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and although I give my body to be burned but have love, it profits me nothing. So again, there's some more gifts that are given here. So one thing I'd also like to encourage you is that if you look in the Bible, each one of these sections is going to list some different gifts. It's almost saying that, hey, here's some types of gifts, here's some types of gifts, here's some types of gifts, but I bet you it's not an all-inclusive list. I bet you that depending on the time and where we are, that God's Spirit manifests itself different ways according to what's needed. This would say, here's the type of gifts that we're talking about, and there are a lot of different types that are there. So he goes into this point, in the point of chapter 13, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, if you could put it in a nutshell, is to say that you can have all the gifts in the world, but unless you have love, those profit me or the body nothing. What was going on in Corinthians? They had gifts. They'd been given gifts of tongues. It was not profiting anybody anything, right? They would give up and all say stuff, but people didn't know what they were saying, right? So this gives us a kind of a context of how to do it. And the important thing to think about in the context of gifts for chapter 13 is that if you get the mind of Christ correct, these things will, spiritual gifts, take care of themselves. But if you've got it the other way around, they won't help anything. It's not saying it's an either or, they go together, but it is saying, chapter 13 is saying, the mind of Christ, if you take care of that, then the other gifts will take care of themselves. And we'll see that in verse chapter 14. Let's go to chapter 14, verse 1. It says, first verse, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love. Pursue means hunt down like a predator, is what that word means. But desire gifts. Is there a different weight in those words? Pursue love, desire gifts. After those two chapters, it's put in the right context. Pursue, hunt down like a hunter or a predator, love. You hunt this down. When it comes to spiritual gifts, they're important. Desire them, yes. But the thing you should be hunting down is love. So it does put a priority there. The Corinthians would have the opposite of that. They would be pursuing gifts and maybe desiring love at some point. God says, pursue love, desire gifts. the opposite way. And verse 2 says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish that you spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongue." Right? Unless indeed it's interpreted, the church receives no edification there. And as we heard a few weeks ago in the sermon tape by Mr. Bradford on that, prophesying is a very important thing. And that's probably one of the only gifts I'll drill into right this second. But prophesying is not what it means like in the Old Testament, where somebody, you know, God gave them something, they came and told the congregation, you have to do this or this is going to happen, or, you know, here's what you could have happened. Prophesying, it says here, is someone who speaks for edification, exhortation, in the comfort of men. And that is something that is everybody is capable of doing. The way the word is mentioned here in prophesying, this is something that everybody is capable of doing. It does include all those elements of giving a direction and a vision, but it is something that's very positive that you give towards people. And as you know, Romans 12 we read before, it says prophesy according to your faith. Okay, so when you're speaking to people, say somebody's going through a trial, what is prophesying? That's kind of the wrong word, you know, for today's language, but prophesying, if you think about that today, you know, if you really want to do it according to your faith, how you see God and how he leads you through those things, you would say, hey, you know, we're praying very much for you. I know God will answer. The reason why is I've seen this in life. I've been through this, and I've seen circumstances. They can get very difficult like this. This is not easy, but I've also seen that sometimes when it gets the hardest, that you can pray and God will open something up for you. And at that time, you have a breakthrough. And next thing you know, when you ask for grace, God starts to lead you out of that. So what you're going through might be difficult, but I can see that God will lead you to a place where you'll actually be stronger. Now, when you start to talk like that, according to your faith, you're starting to paint a very clear vision for people. Something very clear, clarifying, based on faith, that really takes hold. Now, you could also say it this way. Hey, praying for you. I'm sure it's going to work out. See you, bye. Okay, kind of prophesying, but you know, is that really that great? Is that really that helpful to people? Hey, praying for you. Hey, bye. Oh, I don't want to hear it, but I'm praying for you. You know, is that prophesying? Prophesying is really getting into it. The real issues with people and painting a vision, how you know that they're going to come through that. Can you do that? God gives the capabilities for you to do that. That is a gift, prophesying. Paul says, forget this tongue thing. Everybody's all showy about this. What's going to help our body the most is I'd rather desire you prophesy. That's what is going to edify and build up this body the most. So what we find here is that we do have a spiritual gift. Start to pray and ask God to show you that. I won't turn there, but you're all familiar with Timothy, where Paul told Timothy, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Timothy had some gifts, and what we find by that is there were some gifts there, but they were dormant. Okay? He was not using them. And then what we find thirdly is that that gift can be stirred up. So the first step in all of this is to say, God, please help me to see what gift you have given me for the church. Two, it's probably lying dormant. If you really don't think you have one, I would say it's definitely lying dormant. Two, stir that up. Stir up the gift. Stir it up. It can be stirred back up. Timothy was that very thing. He had to do that. And what we find here is, let's turn over to 1 Peter 4, 9. 1 Peter 4, 9. We'll read a couple more scriptures on this. A couple more scriptures on these spiritual gifts. Is you do have gifts. It's important for us to begin to understand what those are. And then once you recognize you have one, you have a responsibility. Stir it up, yes, but you have a responsibility. 1 Peter 4, 9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each one has received a gift, Minister it to one another. You have to use it. You're required to use it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, good stewards is a statement that we find is used elsewhere in the Bible. The intent of a steward, if I give you stewardship of something, leave you with my bank account or something, I expect you to take good care of that. Come back, it should be 10 times more. That's a good steward. A bad steward is I leave you my bank account and I come back and, well, I overdrafted. I don't know what happened. You know, and it's gone. It's bankrupt. A good steward takes care of it and multiplies it. That's what stewarding means. You're taking good care of it, right? So God is saying, hey, I've given you a gift. You have to use it. And not only use it, I want you to multiply it. Where else have you heard that language? Where else would that be? Let's turn over to another scripture, Matthew 25:14. Matthew 25:14, as we wrap this. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. Then when he received the 5 talents, went and traded with them, and he made another 5. And likewise, who had 2 gained 2. But he who received 1 went and dug it into the ground, and he hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. Right? And you know the rest of the story that's here. But this is describing a what? A good steward, isn't it? What is this talking about? This is on subject to exactly what we're talking about of spiritual gifts here today. And another important thing is brought out in this is that you'll find what happened here is that these people recognized that they were given a great amount of gifts. Those who did, what did they do? They got busy and went to work. The one guy says, you know what? I just have this one measly little thing, not significant. I don't, you know, whatever. He just sat there and did nothing with it. You know what? I think there's something important to understand about that, though, because there's a motivation here. Part of the problem with us just sitting back and saying, I don't have any spiritual gifts, if you're at that point, do you think, number one, you're using it, and two, you're going to multiply it? Which one of these guys would you be aligned with when Christ returns at that point? If you say, I don't have a spiritual gift, who are you going to sound like when Christ comes back? Which one of these are you going to sound like? I didn't have it. I had this one, and oh, yeah, maybe I had that, but I just kind of hang on to that. You sound more like that. So I think when we start to recognize and ask God to show us, and you start to see that you have been given multiple gifts on a spiritual level for the church, you're going to be motivated. That is a key to motivation. That is going to help propel you with those. Start there. If one thing you do this week is to start there, realize you have been given something, ask God to show you, and when you start to recognize that, you are going to all of a sudden feel like, wow, I have been wasting my time. I need to get busy. God gave that to me not for myself to sit around, but God gave that to me for the church to build it up. Let me get busy. You start movement. You start going a certain direction. So if we sit there and think we have none, we are that guy with one. That would be where we are. So to wrap this up, there's a couple of things here. Pray, stir it up, learn to become a good steward of that. And let me leave you with another thought, because we didn't have time to cover this today. But it says desire gifts. Can you do that? Can you do that too? First of all, recognize the ones you've been given. But can you desire, can you go and ask God for additional gifts? Think about that. In that context, let me read Luke 11:9 to you. Because we always read this over. And maybe it sounds like one thing, but Luke 11:9 says something very interesting. It says, I say to you, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, and he who seeks find, and to him knocks, it'll be open. And then he goes through and says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, okay, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to him who asks? Matthew says it, how much more will the Holy Father give good things to him who asks? Now, I always read that and said, well, you know, I was baptized and God gave me a spirit. Why am I need to go back and ask? I didn't really apply, if that makes sense. Okay, that's for other people. Maybe there's, you know, in the context of spiritual gifts, does that make more sense? Does it make more sense that you go back and say, God, give me more of your spirit. Please manifest it in the way you want for your people. I ask you so that you may be glorified and that your body may be edified. Will God give good gifts to those who ask? The Bible says he will. So I leave you with a thought. First of all, let's get past that we have none and recognize and ask God to show us. Let's really stir that up. Let's become good stewards and not only multiply that, and then lastly, add on top of that, if you really want to get in there and figure out how to multiply it, and multiply it to more, then that scripture I just read there to you is a key. Couple that with James 4, 2 through 3. I'll leave you with that. You can read that on your own. Because you cannot fake this process out by saying, I would like this gift for your church, but inside you really want it for yourself. When you start to understand and see this progression and these criteria, what will happen is that we will, as a body, start to use those gifts. All of us, here, now, and our part will be done, and this body or this temple will be built.